You're listening to audio from St. Luke Church in Lexington, Kentucky. If you'd like to learn more or donate to this ministry, please check out our website at stlukelex.com.
And friends, let's pray. God, before we woke up this morning, you were already at work. And as we've poured out our praises to you this morning, as we remember the birthday of the church, we pray, oh God, that you would revive us. Send your Spirit to fill each one. Move in our midst today. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Hear this reading from Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven, and at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it then that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others, mocking, said, 'They are filled with new wine.'" Well, during a terrible drought, two farmers prayed for rain. They both prayed earnestly. They both believed that God could send the rain, and only one of them prepared his fields for rain. And when the rain finally came, of course, he was the one who was ready for the harvest. The question that I have in hearing the story is simply this: why didn't the other farmer prepare for the rain? And the same question is really at the heart of Pentecost. Jesus told the disciples in Acts 1, and while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You've heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." The key word, of course, is wait. Wait for the promise, wait for the power, wait for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Jesus never told them when it would happen. In fact, quite frankly, he's pretty small on the details of the plan. Are you with me? Just wait. It's all going to work out. It's going to be great. Wait. Anybody ever told you that before? How do you do with that plan? I hate waiting. Is anybody else with me? I mean, does anybody get excited when somebody says to you, "Just wait 6 weeks"? No, of course not. Do long lines excite you? Of course not. Do huge traffic jams excite you? Definitely not. We don't really like waiting, but that's what they did. They waited, they prayed, they chose the 12th disciple. They sort of dug in together, were together in community, sat in uncertainty. They didn't know how long or what was next or have any answers really along the way. They just simply waited. Jesus said, "Wait. I'll give you power. You're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem." They knew Jerusalem. Judea and Samaria, and they knew a little bit about that. And then to the ends of the earth. He didn't give all the details along the way. Can you imagine what that would be like to get that sort of call? And wonder, "Where are you going to send me, God? And how's this all going to work out? And are you going to be with me? Okay, you said you're going to be with me, but what does that really mean? What sort of twists and turns and trials and tribulations am I going to have along the way?" But they waited. For 50 days they waited. And of course they were waiting in preparation for the Feast of Weeks, the celebration of the giving of the law at Sinai. They were remembering the harvest. They were remembering for almost a couple thousand years at that point. God had these wonderful festivals. They knew about this. They were waiting for the Spirit to come to them. But what does that even mean? And of course they know the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is present at creation, hovering over the face of the waters. The Spirit goes the Shekinah with the tabernacle in the desert and then the temple in Jerusalem. They knew that the Spirit came upon great leaders like Samson and then later on King David. They knew that there were promises in the Old Testament, whether it's from Isaiah or the book of Ezekiel, that God would raise a bone, an army of vast bones in a valley who were in exile. They knew that. They knew Joel promised that the Holy Spirit would come and be poured out upon everybody, and sons and daughters would prophesy. And I mean, they knew all of these things. They knew that the Spirit came upon Jesus at his baptism, that the Spirit was at work in Jesus, that Jesus gave up his Spirit, that the Spirit raised Jesus from the dead, and Paul would later write that that same Spirit would give life to our mortal bodies, which die. They knew all these things. But they got to have a whole lot of questions along the way about what all of it meant. And here's the thing, here's what's so hard about waiting. God asks for our obedience without giving us the details. Man, that's hard. God asks for our obedience without giving us the details. It's like saying, hey, prepare for rain even though you don't see a single storm cloud on the horizon. Not knowing, not being in control, wondering along the way, God, did you forget about the promise? Did you take a siesta? Are you incapacitated with more important things? This is the reason it's far easier to stay busy than it is to wait. How many people would rather be busy than wait? Absolutely, guilty as charged. It's a whole lot easier to stay busy. It makes the time pass more quickly, right? A watched pot never boils. Well, and that's the origin of why Pentecost is so very important. There was once a group of people who built a huge tower into the heavens, trying to busy themselves to be just like God. In fact, Genesis chapter 11 records a time in which humanity was building this great tower into the heavens, the Tower of Babel. Some people would call it the Tower of Babel because quite literally out of the experience, people become babblers. And I love this line in Genesis chapter 11. God says as he's watching the tower being built and they're ascending into the heavens to say, God, look at how great we are. We can do all this on our own. God says it's only the beginning of what they will do. Parents, have you ever said this kind of thing? It's only the beginning of what they'll do. And the implication is this. They're making the plan I have for creation unholy. They're desecrating it. They're killing me up here. And yet that's what they do. They pridefully build this massive tower, and God says, well, enough is enough. I'm going to scatter the people. I'm going to give them different languages. I'm going to confuse them. I think about the Tower of Babel, and I think about the upper room this morning. In an upper room, the people, the disciples, are waiting upon God to do something. While down below, the Feast of Weeks is happening, a festival that they've had for, what, 1,500 years or so? Below, they're building all kinds of things. And above, they're just simply waiting. And I think this is true for our lives. We can spend our lives in one of those two places. A life that's postured upon building a life without God, building a life of self-sufficiency, building a life of pridefulness or control or effort, a life that says, God, look at how great I am. Look at everything that I can do. Or a life of the upper room of Pentecost, a people who humble themselves by waiting, surrendering, desiring, rather than ascending into the heavens, for God to descend, to come and fill. A people who say, Lord, we can't do a single thing without you. We're desperate for you. Where are you living? Which place? Now, if ever there were a need in the 21st century church, it is a need for a divine visitation of the Holy Spirit. And that's where everybody starts to squirm and go, I don't know about all that. Like, that's hair and snakes, good, crazy. Like, we're going to end up with a TV show. I mean, I don't know about all that. In fact, for the last 7 days, we've started our 40 days of prayer. Have you been praying? Everybody goes, 40 days of what? I mean, I shared it last week. It's on social media every day. That's okay. You got 33 days more. That's the good news. I wonder if part of it is it's our struggle with the person of the Holy Spirit altogether, the most forgotten person of the Trinity, the third person of the Trinity. Holy Spirit's not an it or a thing or Luke Skywalker's force. Holy Spirit's a person. Holy Spirit comes and imparts to us the righteousness of Christ, regenerates us out of our deadness, sanctifies us to make us holy, burns away all of our selfish and sinful habits, and empowers and strengthens us by giving us gifts for the body of Christ. I don't know about you, but it sounds like I need the Holy Spirit. Anybody else? Absolutely. Are we more like disciples who wait upon the Holy Spirit to move, or are we more like the people during the Feast of Weeks on Pentecost who are just building more bricks that week? We got to do the thing again. Let's do the ritual. Maybe, just maybe, the reason we miss seeing the Holy Spirit move is simple. We stopped preparing for rain to come. And this is what I love is, you know, all this time begins to unfold and we just sort of okay with it. And we get used to the way things are. We become complacent. That's okay. How are you? I'm good. Are you good? What's God up to? Stuff. I'm busy. Then there's this group of disciples. They're all waiting in an upper room. I love how Luke shares it. Two key words there. I mean, it's totally unexpected. I didn't even put them in yellow this morning, just so that you'd miss them. You kind of read it, it's like when the day of Pentecost arrived, everybody goes, we got to go do the thing that day. We got to go make the sacrifices. We're going to have the dinner. We're going to do this. We're going to do the same thing we did last year. And then he gives these two amazing words. You see them? And suddenly, that's where I get a little excited. Anybody else? Suddenly, there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as a fire appeared to them, and they rested on each one of them. You don't know where this is going yet, do you guys? I'm not sure either. We're just going with it. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. We didn't expect that. Like, we did the same thing for 1,500 years. It was the same thing in the same way. It was very expected. We expected that, you know, God was going to fit in all these nice, neat little boxes and categories, and then all of a sudden, mighty rushing wind. Well, we know a little bit about that. We know a little bit about mighty rushing wind. We know a little bit about tongues of fire. And yet what I love is the words are like and as. It presumes that God is doing something new, yes? I mean, there's enough there that I can go, okay, we know this is God. This isn't like I had bad tacos last night or having weird visions. We know that this is God. But it seems like God is doing something new. And I remember there was once a tower that was built, and there everybody's language got confused, But now at Pentecost, it's like God is allowing the language to connect us. I remember there was a tower where we tried to ascend into the heavens, but now it seems as though heaven is coming down. There was a tower at which we pridefully glorified ourselves as people, and now we have nothing other than God to glorify. This is unexpected. And here's what I believe the Lord would have for us. It's to know this. God isn't finished moving yet. Do you believe this? Man, I've been asking you like for 7 years, do you believe this? And everybody just looks at me the same. What's wrong with you all? Are you living like it? God has something great and new for us. The thing God did before, it was great. Faith is built on that. Yes, faith is built on the Word of God. The Word of God is unchanging. It's timeless. It's divinely inspired. It gives us a foundation. We remember the mighty works of God in those days. Yes? And yet, here's the thing. God always wants to do something new. Why do we struggle with the new thing? Maybe we could say it like this, make it a little clearer. God didn't call his church merely to remember history. He called his church to make history. What kind of history are we making? What's God up to? How does God want to use you? How's he at work in your life? And those days were great. We love those days. But what about this day? What about this day? What about what God is doing in your life this day? I mean, those days were awesome, but what about this day? And here's the thing that I think people struggle with. You can't gain Pentecost power while you continue to build bricks at Babel. And you want God to do the same thing in your life over and over and over and over again. And what we do is we mistake that. We mistake safety and comfort as being a great thing. It's not. All that gives you is familiarity. What about God breaking in and suddenly doing something new? And out of it, out of the way that he would use his church, it allows us to leave those days for this day. To stop remembering history and to start making history. You know what the worst thing ever is that I just don't even want to go to? It's high school reunion. I know that's terrible, but it's a confession. Can I just confess that before you today? You know why? Because I don't care what happened umpteen years ago. Whatever. The thing happened. Yay! But how many people in your life that, I'm way off script now, but just go with me. Who wants to do that again? Who cares? It was great. It was awesome. Yay! But let's move on. Let's do something great. Let's make history for the kingdom in some other way. Let's let God move the way that God wants to move and do something amazing and fantastic in our lives and in and through the church. And man, I just think sometimes the reason he can't is we don't wait on him. Because we're dead inside. And here's the thing that pastors, we don't tell you. Your spiritual life, it's not always up here. Sometimes it's like, anybody who says, oh, you know, I'm always spiritually vitalized, love them, they're lying. Totally lying to you. If I ever tell you that, I want you to come and slap me right in the face. Because it's not true. Sometimes you're going to go to the mountain, other times you're going to go to the valley, and when we're in the valley, what do we need to do more than we are on the mountaintop? We need to wait upon the Lord for him to fill us. And some of you today, you walked in here, man, you can see it, I see it week after week, you're just dry, and you're hurting, and you're struggling, and you know, maybe it's you need healing, maybe it's you're exhausted, maybe you're carrying burdens that nobody else knows about. Some of you, you're so busy building all these bricks for your life that when you retire, they're gone. Or when you leave this world, they're gone. And God wants to do something eternal in you. Our natural inclination is always to build, never to wait. And today, I just simply want to encourage you to do this. Stop. Stop and wait upon the Lord. Come expecting. Come surrendering. Come hungry. Come arms open wide. And Ellen and worship team, when the Holy Spirit moves like that again, just keep playing. We'll be fine. It's all good. Let's expect that God would do something. Today, we're going to have a larger prayer team over here. If you're dry, if you're hurting, if you need healing, if you're struggling, if you have family members who are lost or broken or struggling, if you feel that God is calling you to something greater in service to the church or to leadership, or He has a call on your life in some way, come and pray about it. Come and wait upon the Lord. Come and ask Him to fill you. You can live your life in one of two places: building a tower or waiting in an upper room. It's always your choice. Let's pray. God, we all came here today at different places, different points of faith. We're grateful for those days. We're grateful for days of remembering the way that You moved in our lives. We're grateful for whatever it is that You did. And yet we also recognize we need a this day, a Pentecost sort of moment, where You give birth to something new in us, in Your church. So Lord, for those who are dry, for those who are struggling, for those who are wrestling with You, for those who feel that they have a calling, for those who want to serve, for those who are burdened for friends or loved ones, God, I pray that You get them out of their seat this morning to come and be prayed for, to wait on You. We make our prayer in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.